Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa, Sarupakam, Bhakta Avatara Bhaktyakam, Namamani Bhakta Shaktikam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, now, some ladies who can be a little Krishna conscious and not walk in front of the screen, thank you, but you can sit in front of it. Okay, better make him louder. Hare Krishna. It's a pleasure to be here, although I've never been in this part of the Black Sea area. Make them louder. Oh, there they are. And, well, as you can see, we're a little technically challenged here. So we have a projector, but we've got light coming in on the other side. And in any case, it's in English. Who knows English here? Okay. And our topic is on Varnashrama. And our festival continues till Sunday. Sat Goswami, you're chanting japa? No? You need to go somewhere else to chant japa. Okay, I have to stand on this side just in order to get over there. No more technical advice. Okay, we'll make do with what we've got. So Sunday. That was the conclusion, Sunday. So today is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6. We'll see how far I can progress in the next 6 days. And the topic will be about Varnashrama, which is something that Srila Prabhupada spoke about extensively. And it's what Prabhupada mentioned as being 50% of his mission. And it's the 50% that was unfinished. Who knows that? Who's aware of that? So, not many. Some devotees are aware. And I'll show slides of that, quotes. We'll have a lot of quotes here. Maybe tomorrow we'll get a little better definition, and you'll be able to see things clearer. By saying that 50% of his mission is unfinished, Srila Prabhupada also implied that his International Society for Krishna Consciousness actually lacked a social structure. Now we are, in Russia you also translate like that, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right? Yeah, so we're an international society. Russia has a society. It's a democratic society. Previously, it was a communist society that wasn't democratic. Prior to that, it was a monarchy. But all of these are all, however good or bad they may be, they're all established social structures. You can hear me okay? Can you hear him okay? Okay, keep it close to your chin. Make sure it's touching your chin, because it's not so loud for me. So all of these are actually social structures. None of them are really divine, but they're quite well established because they've been going for a long time, especially things like monarchy. So if we're the international society for Krishna consciousness, what is our social structure? Now I'm asking. Okay, so Varnashram is our social structure. Do we have Varnashram as a social structure? Who says yes? In other words, is it existing? Who says no? Okay, yeah. We're a society by definition, but we're not a society in fact. Now, I'm not a sociologist, and the last thing I came to for Krishna consciousness is to become a social engineer. I was an engineer, but not a social engineer. And yet, Prabhupada said this is half of his unfinished mission. And as I'll try to show in the upcoming presentations, unless our society really does embrace its social structure, Varnashram, then we very likely can spin off to become an Apasampradaya. But more from a social perspective, being a church, a religion of devotees that doesn't really know what its rights and obligations are. So amongst different things that define a society, one thing is that a society defines all of its members' rights and what your obligations are. Women's rights, men's rights, children's rights, workers' rights, all type of rights. And what are the duties? What are the things that you're obliged to do? And the society has a system of enforcement. And that enforcement protects your rights and ensures that you perform your duties. So there's a police force, there's a judiciary, there's an army. All of these things are integral parts in a society. Now everyone agreed that Varnashram is our social structure. Are we agreed on what Varnashram is? What are different people's roles and rights according to their different type of conditioning? And maybe you've even heard the concept that actually devotees are transcendental, they don't need Varnashram. Anyone hear that? Devotees are transcendental. There's a lot of hands going up. Can someone put their hand up who is transcendentally situated? Anyway, if you are, obviously you wouldn't put your hand up anyway. But then why would you even say that you're transcendental to Varnashram, even if you are? Yudhisthira Maharaj was transcendental to Varnashram, but he played the role of a king. So did Arjuna, and so many people that you read about in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And a few people like Shukadeva Goswami and towards the end of his life Maharaj Rishabhdev, they really transcended social conduct. But that's very, very rare. And I don't think anyone is proposing that we should all run around naked. Besides, I doubt you'd last very long in a Russian winter if you weren't dressed properly. So, I personally, over the last, say, 10 years, felt that it was really my duty to investigate more and more what Varnashram is. And what Srila Prabhupada meant by Varnashram. The slides that you're going to see are going to be in English. But Atmananda Prabhu, he's going to translate everything if you can't read it. And I'll be talking about them anyway. Otherwise, we would have had to have two screens. And anyway, so we'll just go like this, and I hope that you can follow. And I'd like to talk about the qualification for Varnashram. Then, later on, or tomorrow, actually, do we really need it? The different opposing statements that Prabhupada said and how that they can be reconciled.
Tomorrow, то, что, о чем говорил Шрила Прабхупада, нужна ли Раднашана на самом деле.
And anyway, we'll see how we progress in time.
Посмотрим, как мы продвигаемся по времени.
Because with translation, we go at half speed. So, before we even talk about Varnashram, we should talk about what is this work all the way out? It goes this way, and yeah, it shines all the way there. You can see that little green thing. I'm going to shine it on everybody who walks in front of the screen, like this devotee who's about to do right now. That's it. Thank you. The first thing for anything is qualification. Are we actually qualified to practice Varnashram? Devotees immediately want to know, well, am I a Brahmin or a Vaishya, or don't call me a Shudra? But before anything, everything has a qualification. And in Sanskrit, the word qualification is called adhikar. You have to have an adhikar for things. So this is what I'd like to talk about. And here are some topics. Okay. Read the topics up and then nice and loud in Russian so everyone can see those points. I can't see them so well, but you can.
Для любой практики нужна квалификация. Квалификация – это следование второе. Квалификация – это следование Варнашрама. Это для того, чтобы культивировать качество человеческого существа, человека. Третье. Эти качества, их всего 30, и также в них включены 9 анг преданного бхакти, преданного служения. Четвертое. Те, кто не культивирует эти качества, они могут быть частью Варнашрама, и не могут понять нужду Варнашрама. Четвертое, пятое. Итак, первый шаг для Варнашрама – это знать качества и культивировать их.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the first one, which is that every practice requires a qualification. This is not new. What's the qualification for practicing devotional service? Faith, yes, that's right. The qualification for bhakti is faith. What's the qualification for getting taste in devotional service? Purity, no? What comes before taste? Huh? Nishta, yes, steadiness. You have to be steady. Which means purity, a certain level of purity anyway. So, anishta bhajana kriya, that one should be at least somewhat freed from sinful conduct and thinking. Everything requires a qualification. What's the qualification for, I don't know, now we had the Olympics, for swimming or running under 10 seconds for 100 yards, meters. It's not a spiritual qualification, you have to train. And these people really, really train. What's the qualification for lifting 50 kilos? Huh? you have to be able to lift 40 kilos. If you can't lift 40 kilos, you can't lift 50 kilos. So, in Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Svesve Adhikaraye Nishtam, that every activity has its particular qualification. What's the qualification for a woman having a child? Aside from a man. Ladies. What's the qualification for having a child?
Health,
and specifically? You have to be fertile. So, if a woman's not fertile, then she can't have a child. So, everything material, spiritual has a qualification. And before we talk about Varnashram, we also have to talk about what's the qualification for practicing Varnashram. Because there are those people who are outcasts. Outcast means that you don't have the qualification for Varnashram. And if you want to look at you want to see an outcast, then just turn around. Look around. We are all outcasts. But by devotional service, by the association of pure devotees, we can become qualified. But the qualification is that you have to stop behaving and living like an outcast. Or an untouchable. Are you with me? Okay, every practice requires a qualification. Krishna in the Bhagavatam tells Uddhava the following. Steadiness. Go ahead. Loudly. Steadiness in one's own position is piety. Whereas deviation from one's own position is considered to be impiety. So, sesve adhikaraye nishtam, this steadiness in your own position, that is called adhikar. A child in school has to have a certain qualification before he goes to high school. Someone cannot go to high school if they actually don't pass their grades in grade school. So, svesve adhikarane yishtam, the system of human life is a gradual elevation. You have to be steady in your at a certain, in whatever your particular duty is, before you can rise to a higher one. When you're steady in a higher position, then you can rise to the higher one. But if you artificially try to go to a higher position, then that becomes irreligion. You gonna help him translate? Okay, good. Maybe you want another chair and sit beside him. All right. Then, another quote. And this is from Krishna Sandarbha by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Can you translate it? Civilization is meant to gradually elevate people. And the principles of elevation are in three forms. The first one is samskar, which means what type of birth you have. The second one is education. And the third one is the practice of spiritual life, sadhana. So, just like Vaishnavas, we all know that Adho Shada, Tapasadu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Narta Nivritti, Nishta, all of these different stages, every stage is the qualification for the next stage. And before coming to Krishna consciousness, human life also has certain stages of elevation. For instance, we know in different religions, they have certain, eating certain types of meat is forbidden. In other religions, then people are recommended to be vegetarian. And then beyond being vegetarian is offering the food that you eat. Now, because these are all scriptural statements, all of them actually award a certain sense of piety, even meat eating, restricted meat eating. Because restricted meat eating is better than unrestricted meat eating. That doesn't mean that meat eating is good, it's just better when it's done in a restricted way. So this is what Thakur Bhaktivinoda is talking about, this gradual elevation. By following one type of standard, one can then step to the next. Now, especially the Vedic system is very much based on this. The Vedas prescribe animal sacrifices. They prescribe worship of demigods. Different forms of Vishnu. Ultimately Krishna. Well, actually the Vedas only have one goal. Vedasya sarve raham. And that is Krishna.
Krishna.
But even when the Vedas tell somebody that, yes, you can slaughter a goat, the purpose is that ultimately you will come to worship Krishna. And even when the Vedas say that, yes, Lord Shiva is the supreme, the purpose is that ultimately this person will understand that Krishna is the supreme. So the Vedic literature is very much a stepwise presentation. So this is something about the idea of Adhikar, qualification has to be there, and everyone has to have the qualification for a lower stage in order to come to a higher stage. You must be a good student in order to be a teacher. You must be a good disciple in order to become a guru. And our next point. If you need, Atmanand, if you need a break, then you can sort of hand it over to him. Is Varnashram for animals? No. Varnashram is for human beings. Okay, what's the definition of a human being? Jai Shishi Panchatattva Ki Jai. How will you describe a human being?
What is intelligence.
Okay. Hitler was intelligent.
Self-realization.
That's a high human being.
Somebody who can understand who is God.
Yeah.
Somebody who's trying to develop, grow.
These are good. In other words, we're talking about, again, Adhikar. You have to be qualified in order to be a human being. And no one here has mentioned that they have to have two legs, two hands, and one head. Because we know just looking like a human being doesn't necessarily make you a human being. So, I want one word. What is it that will define human being? One word. By what thing will you determine who's human and who's not? Nice and loud.
Intelligence.
Everyone's got intelligence.
Faith.
No.
Organization.
No.
Responsibility. Servant. Humanity.
Him. No. Over here, he said it. Qualities. By the qualities, characteristics, conduct, you determine a human, because everyone's got intelligence. Animals have got, they have intelligence. They can do some things humans can't do. So, but still, the qualities. Everything, when we talk about adhikar, adhikar means qualities, and qualities includes conduct. Very good. Okay. So what are the qualities for following Varnashram is to cultivate the qualities of a human being, the qualifications, excuse me. All right, here you're going to see what Narada Muni is talking about in terms of qualities. Wait, let me just zoom forward just to see. Fine. Okay, go ahead. Narada Muni says the following. Strong and loud. Okay, this is actually, now that I can see what's on over there, this is actually part of these four verses. The main parts of the verse are left out. Seventh canto. In Russian, we have seventh canto translated? Yeah? Eleventh canto? Yeah. Okay. So, most of this presentation that I'll make is based on Bhagavatam. In 7th canto, verses 11 to 15, chapters 11 to 15 are all about Varnashram. In 11th canto, chapters 19 and 20 are all about Varnashram. That's seven chapters out of 180. So that's 4%. 4% of the, and then Varnashram is also mentioned in many, many places throughout the text. So the reason I'm putting this up over here is that here it says that these general principles are to be followed by all human beings. Then again, it's repeated twice. They must be cultivated. Every human being must have them. So Narada Muni here is responding to Yudhisthira Maharaj's question. And the question is, how can everyone come to the perfection of human life, bhakti? So, the perfection of life for non-devotees is that ultimately they become devotees. And the perfection of life for devotees is to become pure devotees. So Narada Muni talks about Varnashrama. And but before he talks about Varnashram, he talks about the qualification for Varnashram. And the qualification is, and it's repeated here three times, you have to have the qualities of this human being. And if you don't have the qualifications, then he says you have to cultivate them. Now, here is One book, I could not bring many, I only brought about 50. This is in English, so it's for English-speaking devotees. It's about what are the qualities of a human being. So it's really an introduction to Varnashrama. A couple of days from now, I'll talk about how we're trying to implement Varnashram in Hungary and specifically in Krishna Valley. But part of that is that we're writing a series of books, and this is the first one. You can say this is Dharma Shastra. According to time, place, and circumstance, rules and regulations change, so eternal principles have to be reconfigured. But here the important points, you see, is that three times the same thing is being repeated. You have to have it, you have to have it, you have to have it. And now we're going to go on to what these qualities actually are. And in Hungary, we've spent the last year and a half in devotees, both in counselor meetings as well as in classes, investigating these qualities. So forget about whether I'm a Brahmin or a Shudra. Let's start off with whether we're human beings or not. Because sometimes we make the mistake that I dress like a Vaishnav and then I think now everything that I'm doing is spiritual. Okay, now here, the exciting part. These qualities are 30 in number, and they include the 9 limbs of devotional service. Now you've all heard and all studied about the 9 limbs of devotional service, so in this course we're not even going to talk about those. And there are many seminars going on specifically talking about these. But needless to say, what Narada Muni is saying is that in order for someone to become a human being, whether they have faith or don't have faith, they have to practice Nava Anga Bhakti. So when Prabhupada was asked, well, Prabhupada, can Muslims be part of a Krishna conscious society? So Prabhupada said, sure, but they have to chant Hare Krishna. Then when Prabhupada asked, Prabhupada, can there be atheists in a society that's, you know, if Krishna consciousness is governing society? Prabhupada said, no, you can't be an atheist. He says, just like you can't be a madman, if you're crazy, you have to be rehabilitated. So atheism is being crazy. Therefore, someone has to be a little reprogrammed in order to understand things properly. You don't want to leave So whoever you are, whatever you're doing, nine limbs of bhakti are part of it, but now we're actually going to talk about the other 21. And now these are the 21, and then you can read these, and as we read them, Atmananda, read them slowly, then just start thinking about how much of these qualities you've cultivated or acquired, either by birth, training, or Krishna consciousness. How long does this class go till? 1:45 or 1:30? Does anyone know? Okay, go ahead.
Соблюдая пост в определенные дни месяца. Каждый должен совершать с полным рвением два раза в день. Столько приносить невзгоды, уметь отличать хорошее от дурного, владеть своим умом, владеть чувствами, не причинять никому страданий, хранить тело мудрым, делать пожертвования, читать священные писания, быть прямодушным и удовлетворенным, служить святым, постепенно отказываться от ненужных занятий, осознавать бессмысленность многих видов человеческих деятельностей, быть молчаливым и серьезным, избегая пустых разговоров, изучать самого себя. Кто я, тело или душа, рождалась нищую силу, людям и животным, в соответствии с всем потребностям. Считать каждую душу, особенно если она обращена в человеческом теле,
that's it. Okay, these are the 20 other 21 qualities. And if you look at the first four, truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and bathing, these are the four limbs of Dharma. How truthful are we? Now, actually, I could spend the next 6 days and we could be going over all of these. I won't be doing that. But in Kali Yuga, truthfulness is the limb that is disappearing. Are businessmen honest? Are politicians honest? Are bankers honest? Are we honest? I'm just talking as individuals. You know, when Krishna asked Yudhisthira to lie in the middle of the battle, and technically it was Yudhisthira's defect that he did not want to lie when Krishna told him to. Because Krishna is very good at lying. The only difference is when Krishna lies, it becomes the absolute truth. But Yudhisthira Maharaj says, I've never lied in my whole life. Who can say that? Forget that. That's the requirement for being a king or a country's leader. Do you think there's a country's leader in this world who can say, I've never lied? Actually, there probably are. There are probably leaders who will say that, but do you believe them? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I've never lied in my life. Why are you asking me to lie? And of course, truthfulness is not just telling a falsity, it's not telling the whole story either. Truthfulness means not standing up for the truth. And there are so many things in which we could actually analyze what actually it means to be truthful. Mercy. So you go through the qualities one after the other. And when we're talking about Varnashram, we're saying that actually you have to either have all these qualities in a very substantial way, or you've got to be working on them. Can you read the 21 qualities one more time? Okay, just listen as they come by, and it's something, you'll see this. This is 7th canto, 11th chapter, verses 8 to 12. And so Narada is saying, these are the qualifications of human beings, and if you have these, then you can practice Varnashram. Or at least you have to cultivate them. Okay, one more time. Now, in the 11th canto, Krishna sort of summarizes these and gives the following over here. Non-violence, truthfulness, honesty, desire for happiness and welfare of others, freedom from lust, anger, and greed constitutes qualities for all members of society. This is what, and Krishna's here talking also about Varnashram. These are the qualities everyone has to have. Okay, and this is these are included in the other, it's a summary of the other, the principle being the same. Everyone in human society has to possess these qualities. Now, I'm going on to the next point, but before I do, I would just like to raise this as a something for you all to think about.
Сейчас я расскажу следующую часть, и это
These 21 qualities are what you would call the principles of Dharma. And they are something that just don't come by themselves. I mentioned that there are three requirements, or there are three things by which actually good qualities come. One is samskaras. And samskara really means what you've inherited from your parents. And the reformatory rites that we perform in this lifetime. The other is spiritual practices or sadhana, which for us is summarized in terms of chanting 16 rounds and following the regulative principles. And the other is education. Now, in Vedic culture, education for the higher classes of society, which means the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmanas, means that from age 5 to age 25, you study at the Gurukula. Years of education to become a human being. And to assimilate the culture that underlines human beings. Now, the culture of the world in which we live in is not the culture of humans. Meat eating, alcohol, disco, illicit sex. This is the culture of demons. And in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada's idea is that this is a cultural revolution. It meant to re-spiritualize the whole world's culture. And that means what we're eating, how we're dressing, so many parts of our life are all actually new to us, and we need to become educated in these. Just like I saw that there was a poster advertising for brahmachari course for two-year brahmachari course. And it's a fact, everyone should really do that. 2 years is not exactly 20 years, but it's something. Unfortunately, it leaves the ladies out, where traditionally they would be getting all that at home from their mothers. But most likely that's not happening. So yes, we should have that type of two-year education, because these type of seminars are nice, but they're not going to replace 20 years. So here Krishna is saying non-violence, truthfulness, honesty. Very interesting, truthfulness and honesty, because they're very similar. Desire for the happiness and welfare of others.
желание счастья и благополучия другим.
Paradukaduki, Kripambuti, this is like the foundation of Lord Chaitanya's movement. It means that people are selfless. They're thinking about other people rather than of themselves first. But we live in a society where everyone thinks of themselves first. I don't mean Krishna conscious society, I mean the greater society around the world. Consumerism means we just think of ourselves. It doesn't matter if our grandchildren won't have any water to drink. It doesn't even matter if they're going to be able to breathe the air, or that the oceans become completely polluted, or that there's so much garbage, there's no place for people to live. As long as we can exploit the resources of the world, then it's okay. And this type of mentality, it actually continues on with us, even though we may come in as devotees in Krishna consciousness. But to live in a way that brings happiness and welfare to everybody. It's a fantastic concept, and it's if you go into it deeply, you see it just uproots the way in which society exists at the present time. For instance, nowadays, people use this same phrase, happiness and welfare for everyone, and try and marry it with consumerism. They talk about sustainable development. In other words, everyone should have a higher and higher standard of living, but in such a way that it's sustainable. But it's not sustainable, it's a lie. How we're living right now as devotees is not sustainable. The way we live, this planet cannot sustain how we are living. It cannot sustain your cars, it cannot sustain your electricity, it cannot sustain your gas, it cannot even sustain the way that we eat. At the present time, the world on the average, people are consuming 70% more than what resources this planet has. And Americans are consuming 5 times more than what this planet has. And sustainable development means we want to live like New Yorkers. But you can't do it. And it's going to collapse, implode. What you see is the world right now is going to fall apart. And if you're following the news, you can see it's already falling apart. Because it's not a realistic concept of having a desire for the happiness and welfare of all.
Это нереалистичное желание, что у нас есть счастье и мир для всех.
Last thing Krishna here says is greed.
Последнее, что Кришна здесь говорит, это жадность.
Because we are all brainwashed to be greedy.
Нас все промыты мозги, чтобы быть жадными.
If we actually want a sustainable life, then everyone has to ask themselves, am I willing to live at half of what I'm living now? Yeah, that starts with Sri Ram Swami. I have to be willing to live like that. In other words, however much you're spending, however you're living, cut it in half. Are you willing to do that? Because that's sustainable. But this idea that now we got iPhone 7 and then iPhone 8 and iPhone 9 and we just continue getting new ones, this is not sustainable. Are you happy not to have a mobile phone? They didn't exist 20 years ago. And people lived pretty happily at that time. So this idea of greed, certainly Vaishnavas are not greedy, and yet greed is still instilled in us because we've been brainwashed in school. Everywhere that you go, we're brainwashed to consume. What is advertising? Advertising is brainwashing to make you buy something that you don't need. And it's everywhere, it's like a disease. So I'm making this example not so much to go on the point of self-sufficiency or sustainability. But actually to emphasize that these 21 qualities of human beings aren't just so black and white. I'm free from greed. Because qualities, if you have qualities, then you have a concomitant lifestyle or conduct. Everyone here in Russia, practically everyone, lived a sustainable life 50 or 100 years ago. It's probably some of you have done it. Your parents, certainly your grandparents all did it. They had their own land, they had their own garden, they had their own food, they had their own well, and they had a toilet outside. That's sustainable. And that's sustainable. Are you willing to go out in the cold to use the toilet? It's not the end of the world. People have been doing it for thousands of years. But if you want to keep using fresh water to flush toilet down something so it pollutes all your beautiful rivers, then that's not sustainable. So, this is just a thought that I'm leaving with you. In this concept of these 21 qualities, it really requires deep analysis. When I was writing this book, I realized I can write a whole book just on nonviolence. Or on any one of these 21. And I wasn't about to do that. I wrote 3, 4, 5 pages on each. But before we talk about becoming a society, we have to be qualified to be able to both practice that social structure and to appreciate the need for it. Closer, closer. Hold it closer. Because if you're greedy, and if you don't get rid of greed, you're not going to go for Varnashram. Because everyone also knows that Srila Prabhupada really emphasized farm living for Varnashrama. And he called it simple living. So, living simply. City life, it's not so easy to live simply, but outside of city, it becomes easier. So my point is that appreciating Varnashrama, a person will only do when they're actually really working on these 21 qualities. Then they realize, I have to live a different lifestyle. And it's illusion to think that just because we chant Hare Krishna, we can do anything. The word transcendental. That we're above all of these laws. So, and we'll see later on, because Varnashram is not just meant for bringing people to bhakti. Varnashram is meant for devotees to become pure devotees. Because Varnashram sets the ideal conditions for being a good person. And when you live like a good person, devotional service becomes very easy. Okay, now we're just going to go on to the last point here, which talks about, well, that there are those who don't cultivate the qualities, these 21 qualities, and they are outside Varnashram. And, as I mentioned here now, they can't understand the need for it. Everyone here has gone to school, you're all educated. But did we receive education for being a good person? Aside from maybe if we went to church. I certainly didn't. You did? No. And I went to 7 years of grade school, 4 years of high school, 6 years of university, and no one told me how to be a good person. What? So everyone tells you what you should be, but no one tells you who you should be. And unfortunately, parents also don't give so much training anymore in good qualities. So, here Krishna is speaking, and he talks about what are the qualities of those who really fall outside of the Varnashram system. Dirtiness, dishonesty, thievery, faithlessness, useless quarrel, lust, anger, hankering constitute the nature of those in the lowest position outside the Varnashram system. So, I mean, look at these. This is sort of what goes around in the world around us. The battery is out. The battery went down. Okay, maybe I have to speak loudly until then. And these are qualities that are, in one sense, inbred in us, because we lived like this before we came to Krishna consciousness. So spiritually, we call them anarthas. Those unwanted qualities that develop from bad habits. Dirtiness, dishonesty, thievery, faithlessness, useless quarrel, lust, anger, hankering. Who really knows what the standards of cleanliness are? Here we're talking about dirtiness. The standards of cleanliness that Srila Prabhupada taught us when we came to Krishna consciousness. Useless quarrel. We see that the world is just full of it. So the dominance of these qualities really disqualify us from Varnashrama. And therefore we have to put emphasis, before we talk about Varnashram, we have to put emphasis on becoming qualified for it. So therefore the first step to Varnashram is to know and cultivate these 30 qualities. You can just read from 11.7 to 11.7.2. I think the reference is wrong. It's 7.8.2. My mistake. But anyway, this is how Maharaj Yudhisthira leads into the discussion on Varnashram. He says, "My dear Lord, I wish to hear from you about the principles of religion." By which one can attain the ultimate goal of life. Devotional service. I wish to hear about the general occupational duties of human society. And the system of social and spiritual advancement known as Varnashrama. So you can see here, he says, I wish to hear from you the principles of religion by which one can attain the bhakti. So this is what Varnashram is. It's the principles of religion by which you can attain, not just come to bhakti, but practice bhakti and perfect it. And I'll just stop right there. I will stop there. You've all been really wonderful. Sitting for such a long time and such a boring topic. It's not the most exciting thing to hear. It's not like hearing Krishna's pastimes or even some intricacies of philosophy. But it seems to be something that Srila Prabhupada said, we have to learn. So when devotees said, but Prabhupada, aren't devotees above Varnashram? And then you'll see Prabhupada replies, but then why are you falling down? Because if you don't need Varnashram, you don't fall down. Then you don't break the regulative principles. Then you have all these 21 qualities and you follow them and keep them nicely. So we'll continue tomorrow. Today we talked about the qualification of Varnashram. And well, for me, actually, this is great, having the screen like this. It's better than having it behind me. Somehow or another, it's a little light. Can anybody see anything? No. I can sort of see something. But anyway, it's in English. Okay, so thank you all very much. And devotees who speak English and like these books, they're available just sort of outside over there. And we'll see you. We'll see you again tomorrow. Thank you for being such a good audience. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Pancha Tattva ki jai. Janitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.